Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you this Friday, where we're going to be talking a little more about Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, and why it's so important to God. One of the reasons it's so important to God, it was the place of the first temple, the place of the second temple, and it's going to be the place of the millennial temple. We talked yesterday, about how God had given David the pattern for the temple. He couldn't build it because he had blood on his hands. Solomon built the temple and dedicated the temple during the Feast of Tabernacles, which is over in the fall. That's a seven-day feast. And during that feast, we remember they said, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And then the glory, the Shekinah glory moved in, and all the priests fell under the power of God. And then the king Solomon humbled himself before the Lord and prayed. And fire came down off the altar, came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. And they knew that God was pleased with it. And now it's very important now. Listen to what God said. Chapter 7, 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 8. Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. And all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from the entering in of Hamat unto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day, you keep it for 7 days, and then you have a very joyous separate feast on the 8th day. This is the 8th day feast. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord, verse 11 of chapter 7, 2 Chronicles. And the king's house, Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. Now, very few times in the Bible does it say this. When you see capital L-O-R-D in caps, that is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. That is what we mispronounce as Jehovah. It is the ineffable name of God. When Jehovah appears, it's big. He appeared to Abraham in Genesis 12. He appeared to Jacob when he saw the ladder. But here we see Jehovah appearing again. Now listen to his words. And Jehovah appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place. Remember how Moses said there was this place, the Hamakom? And remember how they looked for it and David found it? Now God is confirming to King Solomon, this is it. You've got the place. This is the place where I rest my name. It's no more a mystery where God rests his name in the earth, in which he said, I'm going to rest it in one of the tribes. It's actually in the tribe of Benjamin. And he said, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place, Hamakom, to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer made in this place, Hamakom. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. You'd better watch out when you're trying to make a road map and share the city of Jerusalem. You'd better watch out and know that God's eyes are particularly there perpetually. And these are the last days. Now, remember that when this was originally prayed by King Solomon, God says, I have chosen this place. He's talking to King Solomon, who is the king of Israel. I have heard many Christians use this verse as a prayer motto. They'll have a prayer conference and they'll say this: if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. My eyes shall be open and my ears attent to the prayer made in this place. I have a little trouble with applying that verse to Christians. We've got a verse. Remember that the Bible is written to the Jews, the nations, and the church. This is particularly to Israel. This is an old covenant promise to Israel, and if you're going to stand on this, you're going to have to go to Jerusalem to stand on it. You know, I mean, there, of course God will hear us when we pray, and we're supposed to humble ourselves and seek his face, but this one says you have to go to Hamakom. You have to go to the place. And here we'll hear from heaven. To illustrate this, I was once in the office of Ariel Sharon before he became prime minister of Israel. And it was at a time when Yasser Arafat was threatening to make a Palestinian state unilaterally. And he said to us, Israel, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he said, is in the greatest danger it's ever been. I don't know anything to do but to go to the Temple Mount and pray. He went to the Temple Mount. He went to that place. He based it on this scripture. And he became the prime minister of Israel. Now, Satan tempted him. What he did after he got in there, I don't agree with. But he was right in some of the things he did. I could name you some things he did that you wouldn't probably understand. He put the Orient House out of Jerusalem, which was the headquarters of the PLO. He did a lot of really good things until he gave away Gaza. But my point on this is a prayer that is given to Israel, and if they would do it today, if they would go to that place and they would pray, God would hear from heaven and heal their land. Now, the New Testament scripture that I like to use is in Timothy, which says, first of all, you pray for those in authority. You lift up kings and presidents. That's to us. We don't have to go to Jerusalem and get on that mountain to pray. We can come better based on Timothy. Where it says, first of all, pray. But this had to do with the Temple Mount. It had to do with the Jews. It had to do with going there and making your petition. And if they do it, he will heal their land. He will heal that promised land. He will do it today. Israel's hope is actually in doing this. That temple was built. That temple stood there almost 500 years. The Jews worshiped there. It was the place they came up three times a year. But God said, it is a very holy place, and you can't just do everything there. And they didn't please God. Their priest, Satan tempted them, and the people were led astray, and they didn't worship God like they should. And there came a time when they were not holy enough to inhabit that holy temple. And God cast them out. He did it by the Babylonians coming in and capturing them and carrying them off to Babylonian captivity. But I want to read you. Now, we're going to study this book of Ezekiel. Please come and study it with us in August. There's so much in it. We talk about the wheel within a wheel, and we take little bits and pieces of Ezekiel, but you need to see what the whole story is about. The whole book of Ezekiel is about what happened there and what's going to happen there and what's happening right now and what's happening with Putin and what's happening with Persia. Oh, my goodness, what a book that is. But you remember that he saw the wheel within a wheel. He saw the glory of the Lord, and he saw, remember, the Shekinah glory came into the temple, and all the priests fell over. There we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now Ezekiel is watching as the Shekinah glory leaves the temple. Chapter 10, Ezekiel. Now the cherubims, verse 3, stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up, remember, from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. If you know how the temple set up, the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory, was in the Holy of Holies. It was between those cherubim, and what Ezekiel is witnessing is this heavenly messenger went in there, and the Shekinah lifted up off that and moved out to the threshold of the temple. And then he watches it, and it departs from the threshold. Verse 18, then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood above the cherubims. And the cherubims lifted up their wings. These are the ones that came, you know, with the chariot of God. And then the glory, at the end of verse 19, stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the Lord of Israel was over them. The glory of the Lord is moving. It's moving out of the Holy of Holies. It's moving out of the temple. It's moving out into the courtyards. And verse 22 of chapter 11, then did the cherubim lift up their wings and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the Lord of Israel was above them, and the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city, which is the Mount of Olives. So the glory of the Lord moves out of the temple and moves over to the Mount of Olives, and then it moves off that temple mount. And it stays off. It wasn't there in the second temple time. When Jesus was there, he was the glory that came to the temple. But the Shekinah glory cloud was not there. It is, however, going to come back. And that's why it's so important to God. That's why we can't just deal with these things and say, oh, the Dome of the Rock is there. Oh, it belongs to the Muslims. No. Now, here is what's going to happen there in the future. It's what happened in the past. It's what's going to happen in the future. Ezekiel chapter 43, this is when the glory comes back. The millennial temple is built. Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looks toward the east. And behold, the glory of the Lord of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. Verse 4, and the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Chapter 44, verse 4. Then he brought me the way of the north gate before the house, and I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell upon my face. The Shekinah glory even. Of course, Jesus, who is the Lord of glory, will be, and King David under him will rule and reign during the 1,000 years. But the glory, the Shekinah glory, will come back. It will move back in that temple. Jerusalem is important to God. Yerushalayim. We're going to look at this next week. And next week we're going to look at the connection, what will happen there between earthly Jerusalem and heavenly Jerusalem. We're going to see what they mean in the heart of God and what they mean to you. Now, this week, we are offering to you a book by Lester Sumrall, Dr. Lester Sumrall, Jerusalem, Where Empires Die, $5 plus shipping. We are offering to you a tape series that I did on all these radio teachings, Hamakom. It's not what you heard on radio. It's something else I put together. Hamakom, the place. Call us and order these tape series for $10. 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447, or write us, Billy Brim, Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or go online, billybrim.org. Please come back and be with us next week when we're going to talk about your home, heavenly Jerusalem. For if you are a member of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a citizen of the heavenly Yerushalayim. Shalom until Monday.